Intervju Radija Študent.
Pozdravljeni v Ereš intervjuju, ker gostimo kalifornijsko zasedbo Moon Duo. Ta nastopa nocoj v klubu Gromka na Metelkovi. Moon Duo gojita glasbo z močnim psihedeličnim priokusom, obenem pa jo zaznamuje repetitiven ter minimalističen zvok. Torej, zasedba je pa sedaj v studiju and hello, Mr. Ripley and Sanae Yamada.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Okay.
All right. So, can you just for the beginning tell us about how did Moon Duo start?
We started a couple years ago. I've been playing in this other band called Wooden Ships, and we're not able to tour all that often. So, I was really wanting to do another band where we could be on the road as much as possible. So that was sort of the impetus behind starting the band together.
So it was a lack of shows you wanted to play.
Wanted to be on the road as much as possible, you know. We love to travel.
All right. And what's the music scene in? You're coming from California. What's like the music scene there right now, this psychedelic rock scene?
It's pretty good. It seems like right now, I think in San Francisco there are these waves where, you know, things can seem kind of dead for a while, and then all of a sudden it'll seem like, you know, all these bands sort of come out of nowhere and get a lot of attention. And right now it seems to be on the upswing. There are a lot of bands there doing some really interesting things.
There's some great bands around.
Yeah, right.
I'd say pretty much the Fresh and Onlys.
Okay.
And the OCs, Ty Segall, Carlton Melton. There's some really interesting sounds.
So it's a lot of going right now there.
Yeah.
Cool. Can you please tell me what would be like the main difference between those two bands, the Wooden Ships and Moon Duo? What do you think?
Well, I think certainly in a live context, the Wooden Ships have a drummer and a bass player.
Yes.
And it makes for a really different dynamic. I think it's Moon Duo is a little bit more stripped down because there's only two of us. So that's sort of an interesting challenge to work with. Just seeing what you can do with two people and what kind of noise you can create.
So you started with like an experiment or?
Yeah, I mean, I think every band starts as an experiment. And then if people like it, you can call it a successful experiment. If people don't like it, it's failed, in a sense. you know, we, but I think we knew what we wanted to do from the beginning, because we have always, you know, there are a lot of artists that we love who do a very minimalist sort of drone rock sort of approach. So we just wanted to do our own sort of version of that.
And wouldn't, we're just going a little back to also to Wooden Ships. It released the record in 2007, I think.
Yeah, I think our first record came out in 2007.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's a short period of time, and you already have two bands.
Yeah.
For now. what were you doing before that?
I actually worked in IT, and I did after the record came out, actually. I was a systems administrator. I worked with doing server administration, like okay. Email servers and things like that.
So you weren't much involved in the music?
I was doing music.
Actively.
I was, but
you were,
no one cared.
And you? But, sorry.
This is her first band.
Okay.
Before that, actually, the Wooden Ships existed as a true experiment for many years before that, where it started off as... I went through a period where I didn't play music at all because I was tired of being in bands and all the political and sort of personal baggage that comes with that. And so I wanted to put together a band of non-musicians that I could manipulate, in a sense, to play very primitive rock and roll, like one chord rock, and literally play with people who've never played before but could play something. It would just have to be very limited. And so we did that for quite a while, actually, for a couple of years, but then it got to the point where no one wanted to play shows, and people stopped showing up to practice. And so I reformed the Ships with some other people who were more a little more ambitious.
Okay. So. About this album, the Mundua Escape, this album feels like very spontaneous. Sometimes it just feels like it's recorded live. Was it like this, or
with Mazes?
No, Escape.
Oh, Escape. Yeah. Escape we did record live, actually.
You recorded
it in our practice studio.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
That one we recorded ourselves.
Yeah, up until Mazes, everything we had recorded by ourselves.
Yeah.
So it does lend itself, the process lends itself to a more loose, spontaneous feel, because you can sort of do whatever you want on your own time, and you're not hemmed in by studio schedules and pressure and money and all that stuff. Mm-hmm.
And how then this change came with the Mazes record?
We actually recorded that ourselves, most of it, and we mixed it, and we decided it just wasn't enough of a step forward.
Okay.
And we didn't want to just do the same thing. So we went to Berlin and worked with some friends there in their professional studio. And we re-recorded a lot of the stuff, and we recorded some new songs and mixed it there and worked with them, you know, and took a more professional approach, I think.
And why did you choose Berlin?
Well, we've gotten to know a number of people there over the years. It's sort of our home away from home.
Okay.
And we had met these two guys. They're actually Finnish, but they have a studio in Berlin. And they had some open time when we wanted to come record, and we just thought we would work well with them. So it sort of worked out for everybody.
Plus, it was good to, because we recorded most of it in our apartment in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And we sort of struggled with it. It was good to just get away from there and try to get a different perspective from a physically different place.
Okay. And how did it feel like being in the studio? You put, I guess, much more layering of sounds. The sound got deeper with that.
We were already doing the layering. We just weren't doing it very well, I think, because it's a little more complex than it. You know, if you're working on your own and you don't know what you're doing in the studio, things can get muddy very quickly. So that was part of the process, was re-recording some of the things.
Mm-hmm.
But the approach, it was kind of like a rescue mission more. It was kind of stressful because we felt like we had done all this work and it wasn't coming together the way we expected. And so it was sort of like taking a puzzle apart and putting it back together the right way.
And also this new Moon Duo album, Mazes, I found the sound of the a little brighter, maybe a little lighter. Is this a new direction of Moon Duo?
Well, I think that was the sound of that album, and it worked for that album at the time. But uh-huh. I think we're always open for the next piece of work to not define it too carefully going into it and say this needs to be stay bright or it needs to do this or do that, but
so
just sort of give it.
So you like just to make new again and again and again, not stick to the particular feel of the music.
I think we both like to leave the door open for different ideas.
Okay, so
whatever idea comes along.
Talking about different ideas, you also there's a remixes of Mazes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why?
Because I don't want to. I'm gonna sound really cynical, but I just woke up. I'm sorry. Record labels these days, it's not enough to have a record. They want extra stuff. It's part of the marketing and promotional thing. But that said, we didn't want to just record a bunch of extra songs just to throw on a bonus thing for this store or for iTunes or whatever. And so we decided we would contact some of the bands that we really like and see if they were interested in doing remixes. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them were people who had never done a remix before. And it's sort of it's an approach, it's something that rock musicians especially never even really think of, for the most part, doing a remix. It's mm-hmm. much more common with dance or hip hop.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it was actually ended up being a really fun exercise convincing people that they could do it, and they could do whatever they wanted, and then seeing what they came up with. So it was really fun for us, and it ended up, I think a lot of the remixes came out really, really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I just listened to that record today. It was mm-hmm. quite good. Yeah, yeah. And strong part of your music is this repetitive song that just keeps again and again and again and again. So what's the purpose of that? What do you try to express? Is this somehow related of how you see music?
I went through this period in when I stopped playing music for a while and really thought about what it was that I was trying to do with music and what I responded to personally, and that is one of the things, is this primitive element in music, this repetition and this trance-like mm-hmm. element that you can find in a lot of music, but you don't always find it in rock and roll, but you certainly find it in electronic music, in Indian classical music, in trance music, in hip hop, repetitive rhythmic elements, and it is in some rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just something that we've been driven by.
Okay.
I think you can find it also in a lot of early rock and roll. This sort of primal, repetitive beat structure. And
so there was also more danceable music?
Absolutely. Exactly. And rock and roll, you uh-huh. know, in the beginning was for dancing. People would go and dance to rock and roll. And it's sort of, I think, people don't dance as much at rock shows as they used to.
Yeah, it's more like listening and...
But I think the repetition is a very... has a really strong connection with dance, with like the instinct to move to the music.
All right. So, and this music also flows somewhere above. I think it stays a little unidentified. It's there, but you don't have it 100%. It just slips through the fingers.
Right? That's cool.
Well, that's how I see it.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, it's good when people can't put their finger on something, I think, because I think it's dangerous. I think it's a bad sign if you're in a band and you get pigeonholed or you get put in a particular box, mm-hmm. and then you can find yourself stuck in that box. Mm-hmm. Like, your band is this, your band is... And if everyone is calling your band something specific, and that becomes the thing that you're tagged with, then that's a troublesome thing. But I think we've been lucky enough that, that people try to assign it different types of things, and it doesn't necessarily stick, mm-hmm. which is heartening for us, but...
Yeah.
It's not really a part of, it's not really, we're not really in control of that part of the process, you know,
okay.
how the music is digested and explained in the media.
Right. So when you record the songs, you use all these studio works, you layer the sounds. How do you then fill this gap during live shows? I mean, it's just two of you. And how do you feel then, this gap?
Well, I think we don't really try to make the live show sound exactly like the recording. I really like it when a band is different live than they are on their record.
Yeah.
And also we have certain limitations in that there are only two of us, and so we have to do what we can. But it's a good challenge to bring something different live and mm-hmm. just see what we want to sound like live and build a sound structure that is as rich as we want it to be between the two of us.
So it's like more go with the flow, or you start slowly and then just building the sound?
We come out right from the gate, I think.
Yeah.
Go on. We do use some samplers and loop pedals.
Yeah.
So, you know, technology and volume, that's how we feel,
yes. Technology and volume.
That's about it.
And as Californian psychedelic rock bands, how does it feel playing in front of European crowd?
It's great. I think people who live in California don't think about it being this place, the source of psychedelic rock, or being identified with that as much as people who are not from there and have maybe a romantic vision of it. So it's really great to play in different places. I mean, we love being in Europe especially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
So you just toured our former country. You just came from Belgrade, and before you were in Zagreb.
Yes.
So today Ljubljana, and what's next?
We leave. We go home tomorrow.
Already tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah, so
this is the last show. Today is the last show for
you. The last show. Yeah.
All right. So go all over it. Huh?
Yeah. Exactly.
So thank you both for this interview.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes. And before the end, we'll listen one more song.
Okay.
It's the Mazes.
Great.
Okay. Munduo sta že odhitela proti klubu Gromka, ki odpre vrata danes ob 9. Pol ure kasneje, torej ob 9:30, Nebula Ensemble, slovenska predskupina, začne z nocojšnjim dogodkom. Ob 10:30 pa, kot rečeno, Munduo v klubu Gromka.
Intervju Radija Študent.